flayed, spray my faucet corn, my blister horn flung into the day, why oughta storm my gristle formed dung into the shirt doused bed, where socks loom my fizzled norm sung inside the dirt house.
This is John M. Bennett, and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
My ray, my osteo floor, my glistened shorn mug flayed.
Music, reggae music. It's tell you whole world, you know. Telepathically and physically and mentally and spiritually, we are telling them to this music, yeah.
So you heard it here at Rocker Show 101.9 FM CITR. Featuring yours truly, George Beard, keeping the reggae music alive on the west coast of Canada. It's all about root rock, lovers rock, dancehall, reggae music. On CITR Rocker Show, Sunday noon to 3 p.m. each and every Sunday. For over 25 years of doing it nice, warm, and easy. Until next time, such time, keep the faith and spread it gently. Ja bless and Ja guide and Ja out. Bless out.
Him and a wine in a ace. Glad I'm up here in a rubber dump place. Dance out.
Hello. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from UBC in Vancouver on traditional unceded Coast Salish Musqueam land. And this is the first show I've done in maybe a few weeks. I don't know if anyone tunes in during this hour still to hear the regular apology. I've been around, and I've been sick, but I have been committed to another audio project, perhaps an excerpt of which you'll hear today, and that has been sapping most of my recreational time. However, today, again, I am doing a show. This is Cue It Up, a regular show on CITR from 3 to 4 p.m. on Wednesdays. Sometimes it's a bit scripted. There'll be a bit of a collage. Mostly improvised. But today, it's actually going to be very straightforward. We're going to listen to some sort of a mixture of, well, in the case of this artist, which you're hearing right now, the Absolute Valley of Noise, found sounds manipulated digitally. But also, you know, we're going to move into a bit of ambience, and we're going to play some music from Sara Devachi's new album on Jazz Records. Sara Devachi, local drone artist from Alberta, originally, now located in Vancouver. And then, in the latter part of the show, we are going to play some music on behalf of Music Waste, local festival, very dear and near to our hearts. Just going to speak to that a bit. So, nothing grand and conceptual this episode. In fact, because I've already done some of the work, most of the work for it, previously, without any necessary or essential connection to the show, it is almost as if I'm not really here right now. And I encourage you to listen and put me out of the picture and let my voice itself be a kind of fly buzzing or nuisance or wind drifting by, you know. And don't let me disrupt it on my behalf. Anyhow, you've been listening to Number 25 Bus by Absolute Valley of Noise. And as a part of this documentary I was working on, that's the production I was doing that was consuming my time, I got to interview Absolute Valley of Noise, also known as Peter Cordemanche, a CITR 101.9 FM alumni. Started in the 80s, worked on many things. Program management, volunteer management, coordinating, engineering, that department as well, and also doing his show, The Absolute Rally of Noise, which he will talk about here, and eventually going on to start the annual tradition of 24 hours of radio art at CITR every year. We have a day, 24 hours of radio art, dedicated to broadcasting radio art, and in some cases, many cases, other kinds of tangential art being broadcast through the medium of radio, though not necessarily experimenting with it in and of itself. And Peter is going to talk about that in both cases, and a bit about the noise community during the 80s, a bit about what the community at CITR during the 80s was as well, and also his sort of purview and understanding of what this kind of art's value is, and speaking to that. So, again, we'll be doing a regular show from 3 to 4 p.m., as usual, from this point on. Again, you've been listening to Queued Up on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live in Vancouver, BC, on unceded Coast Salish Musqueam land. Let my voice drift away. Here is Peter. Actually, no, I asked him questions in this documentary, too, but I think I've cut most of that out, so thankfully I've, as a ghost, disappeared from the picture.
Yeah, I'm Peter Cordomanch. I'm also known as the Absolute Value of Noise. And when did I start at CITR? I think in 1983. I started going to UBC and I graduated in 1988. And so I did a variety of things at CITR. In those years, I started out as a record librarian, and then I was a program director for a year, and then I took over the engineering job, the engineer that we had graduated, so I took over that. And also during that time, I started doing a noise radio show that was inspired, I guess, in part by people like, I don't know if you've heard of Mark Michette, who did a program called Fast Forward, and he would collect records from all over the world from people doing musique, concrete, and various types of avant-garde. And so there were various people who kind of got me into the noise realm, and then there was a show on co-op radio called New Sounds Gallery, which was produced by GX Jupiter Larson and Black Humor and a few other people who collectively were known as the Haters, and had done some fairly serious shows. They did a show on a garbage dump where they literally threw appliances around and to create noise, like washing machines and bits and pieces of stuff. And they've done shows with massive amounts of fire and with taking stages apart and putting them together and things like that.
I'm going to grab the kettle. Sure thing.
What kind of tea do you like?
What do you have?
Got black and green and rooibos and...
I have rooibos.
Rooibos? Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
He started recording some stuff and I started recording some stuff. There was one of the first buildings that they tore down, and the kind of ongoing redesign of campus happened in, I think, 87. So we recorded this building being demolished. And then Brian wrote on the cassette tape, Absolute Value of Noise, and handed it to me, and that's where the name of the radio show came from. And so we started doing that, and it just seemed that between that and people like Bill Mullen and Pat Mullen, who were doing... They were playing more with music, but then they were doing all this stuff in between the songs and doing cut-ups and stuff with their voices, and they were influenced by people like Negative Land out of California. And so there just seemed to be a number of shows that were kind of heading off in that direction. I think the noise show I did was probably the most extreme in terms of the content, and that it wasn't always necessary for it to be listenable. So... got fairly intense and sloppy and crazy at times. And so that's where that came from. And it was also an interesting show because it was wrapped around Nardwuar the Human Serviettes show. So I'd do like an hour and a half, and then Nardwuar would come on for half an hour, and then I'd do an hour, and it meant that it was kind of really nice to have that break in the middle and be able to kind of do something like two different shows or two different things.
Talking to Nardwuar, actually, he characterized sort of, it's interesting his conception of it. He said that at other stations, this kind of programming would be construed as radio art, and then you went on to help begin radio art, or did you have a, what was your hand in that?
Well, I mean, I guess I didn't, I always thought of it just as the noise show at first, and mm-hmm. didn't really start reading more about radio art till a bit later.
If I can interrupt.
Sure.
Sorry. It was that, but then he would go on to say that in Vancouver, it was construed as just noise, like as you were describing it. And I'm wondering if you can comment on that cultural disparity.
Well, I think part of that too is I wish I could remember, but you know, there's actually tons and tons of radio artists who worked with extreme noise and trying to get all the listeners to turn off their radio sets and stuff like that. So yeah, like a lot of what we did on the air was actually created live on air. So various people would come in, like, not sure how this, if you would have, because there used to be the on-air studio and then the record library was right across from it, and it was also the voiceover booth, and because it had all these cardboard things all over the place, the sound in there was actually quite kind of dampened, and for a small room you could actually make a lot of sounds in there and mic them and they'd sound pretty good. So we had people would come in and do live stuff in there. And we would do tape loops and all kinds of stuff. And people would bring in cassette tapes of things they'd recorded. The equipment is kind of an interesting era because we were transitioning from like large machines to smaller machines. And so the reel-to-reel decks, I think there's probably still a few of those around. And turntables, obviously. But and then there was also cassette decks and CD players came in like 89 or something. And then when I took over as engineer, I also rewired the patch bay so that people could plug in gear that they brought in themselves, which previous to that, you wouldn't really do in a radio station. It all had to be broadcast quality gear, and you know, nobody could just plug in a 4-track cassette deck or anything. So we set it up so that people could plug in their synthesizers or cassette decks or whatever they wanted to bring in and do stuff that way as well. And there were lots of people doing interesting shows at that time. So it'd be myself, and then there's people like Bill and Pat Mullen and Don Chow who were doing these kind of things that were more coming out of a musical show, but with all this other stuff layered into it. And there were shows like Giga Blast, which was Andrea Sereni, and Adam Sloan was doing noisy stuff, and Anthony Roberts, and there was just a whole slew of people. There's a guy called Travis B, was his on-air name. Jerry King did a lot of stuff as well. And so just came up with the idea, well, what would it be like if the station went to an all radio art format? Like, not necessarily just for 24 hours, but forever. And then we thought, well, maybe it would be possible to do it for 24 hours and to do it during the National Campus and Community Radio Conference that was going to happen there in July. And it was kind of similar in that era in that it had all these crazy people doing radio shows who were doing shows because they were interested in these really weird, like the guy who did all the organ music, or, you know, the guy who was into this really particular type of opera or whatever, right? And so CBC was also really, really had this eclectic kind of everyone who comes brings their personality and their record collection and their own kind of set of things to the station rather than trying to say, okay, we as a station play these 40 songs and everybody's got to represent them in the same way. Mm. Still, there's an aspect of radio art, which, or a certain genre of radio art, you might say, which involves working with transmission and receiving equipment and kind of interrupting it and working with the waves, so to speak. And there's a number of artists who work with that, including a guy, a Japanese media theorist, Tetsuo Kagawa, is famous for building both pirate FM transmitters, but also just working with them in weird ways where he'll have like 6 transmitters lined up and he'll just move his hands around to, you know, to interfere with them as they're transmitting to a receiver that's on loudspeakers in a performance space and stuff like that. I don't know, there were some eras of American politics that were fairly dark and scary. In with Ronald Reagan and Bush Senior era, and when there was a lot of activist art around basically anti-American colonialism. And a lot of that art was seen as the inspiration for Ronald Reagan's administration to cut funding to the National Endowment for the Arts in the States. And so I kind of got this idea of art and activism, but kind of wondered, well, how does that... A lot of it seems more like it's just activism and isn't really talking about art. But I think where art comes in is when you can actually make someone see something or think about something that they wouldn't necessarily notice otherwise. So like people will wander around the city and never think about electronic pollution. But if you, you know, if they can hear a piece that's made of the magnetic radiation that's around them, or they can hear the sound of their cell phone, and they can go, oh, actually there is all this stuff in the air and maybe we should think about it. And it's the same with the outdoor pieces that I do, is that I'm trying to kind of bring people's attention into certain kind of biological relationships in the world, or to see insects as something that's valuable, or you know, different things of that nature. So I think art has a very definite role to play in trying to just kind of subtly expose those things and make them interesting in different ways.
Have you attended any of the Ore Gallery lectures recently?
I think the interesting thing in contemporary society is we create a lot of...
I'm just going to stop this interview real quick. What a ridiculous error for me to leave in there. Oh my gosh, let's just listen to that again and see if you can detect the precise period I fail to cut in my actual question with the responding answer to where I decided to cut to an entirely new line of questioning, which I have not introduced, but of which you have been plunged directly into. Not much time left in this interview. Again, if you're just tuning in now, it's Peter Cordemanche, also known as the Absolute Value of Noise, a local noise, sound, ambient musician. And afterwards, we're going to listen to one of his tracks from a recent album they released back in March of 2016, Rain Motors Magnetic Motion. We're going to listen to the track Solar Engines, which is derived from type of circuit, a solar engine that stores up little bits of energy until it has a large charge and releases all of its energy in a short burst, typically to spin a motor or drive some other power-hungry device. In this case, he is recording this audio information coming out of the device, the solar engine. We're going to maybe get a glimpse right now into why exactly that is the pursuit and the object of interest when I return to this interview. But again, listen, and pick out the incredible error that I've left in this particular recording.
That nature. So I think art has a very definite role to play in trying to just kind of subtly expose those things and make them interesting in different ways.
Have you attended any of the Ore Gallery lectures recently?
I think the interesting thing in contemporary society is we create a lot of... things that can have very negative effects on us as people and on the world. And the ones that we tend to notice and find solutions for are things that are generally visual and obvious. And things like, you know, if you walk out on Main Street and you're walking down the street, if you had any idea what you were breathing, you would probably just run out of the city and never come back, right? But because it's invisible and, you know, people study it, but the studies aren't really published in a way that's accessible to people. There's, you know, people don't really have any idea of what it is that's coming out of cars. And it's like one of the interesting movements that started in Vancouver is this idea of roadside gardens for growing vegetables. And so especially in this neighborhood, there are people who put in 4x8 garden bed boxes, and they'll grow their leeks and their garlic and their kale and their lettuce, and then they'll drive up a foot away from it with their car exhaust pipe and go putt 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 for 2 minutes, right? And turn off their car, get out, harvest their lettuce and go eat it. And it's like, that's actually really bad for you, because the stuff that's coming out of your exhaust pipe is then stuck to your food. Or there's you know, grocery stores that put all their food out in the street, all their produce out in the street, which is a really amazing tradition that gets people into the store and you can see what all the fresh stuff is. But at the same time, that stuff is getting saturated with really dangerous pollutants, right? Yeah, I mean, this is interesting because it's not just places like CITR, it's places like, say, the Western Front or Vivo, video in, video out, in that there was a time when those places were the centers of production and you had to go there to produce because you couldn't do it anywhere else. And then they also created these communities of people who could share ideas and do all this stuff. And then with I guess what at first was called the democratization of technology, which is kind of when the Hi8 camera came out, and suddenly people could wander around with their own camera. Like, if you wanted to shoot video, at a certain point in time, you had to borrow a camera from someone who could afford to fork out $20,000 for it. So I think what the centers have and the radio stations have, though, is they still have that social aspect and that place where you can go to exchange ideas and meet people you wouldn't otherwise meet. So, I mean, there are people who create their own podcasts from scratch and create their own podcast networks and do a similar thing. But I think the cool thing about CITR is that actual meeting other people aspect and hanging out. So I'm not sure how, you know, like how that works in this day and age, if it does or doesn't, the way the station is set up. But, you know, it was definitely a big part of the way it worked when I was there, for sure.
Like friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Indeed. 9904 cell is very
I can't understand you. You need to speak English.
Hey, Polly, that remark is totally inappropriate. I know you're new here, but this is a safe harbor office. We're committed to treating all of our clients respectfully.
What would you do if you were this witness? Safe Harbor Respect for All provides diversity workshops across Canada with funding from the Government of Canada. Visit safeharbor.ca. Respect for all. Pass it on.
That was Dream Cars with the song Dream Cars. It's amazing. There's a space can do for the affect and the track. There you have the band named Dream Cars, no space. The song Dream Cars, there's a space in there. The disjunct. the Inter. We just heard an interview with Absolute Valley of Noise and Track and Motors. And now we are listening to another Absolute Valley of Noise track, Gravity Rising, from Republic of the Southern Cross, released back in 2014. But we are going to segue into Sarah DeVachi, and we're going to hear a track from Sarah DeVachi's new album, Dominions, at the record right here. The track is Feeler. All compositions by Sarah DeVachi between June 2014 and April 2015. And, you know, DeVachi is... There's, it's interesting with DeVachi. I always feel like her music is very austere, very collected, and using the set tools at hand. There are orchestral elements, of course. DeVachi herself is trained classically in music, but there's a keen purity, and it's not like an electroacoustic purity or something of that kind. It's just a very, very, it conjures the idea of lushness and of these solid, firm ideas. Don't know quite how to put my finger on how to describe that. Before I put that on, Dream Cars. We played that because Dream Cars, as a part of Music Waste, will be playing a set on June 3rd at Selectors Records. They'll be on at 9:15. The show starts at 8:30. Same, same. And after Dream Cars, R23X. And Go Your Own Waste, sort of these shows held tangentially with Music Waste, will be playing... I'm sorry, not will be playing, but there will also be a Go Your Own Waste show on June 4th at Selectors Records. Got C. Diab at that one. C. Diab, absolutely phenomenal local ambient artist. Crooked Mouth and Fader. And I think we're going to hear a track from Crooked Mouth and C. Diab after Sarah DeVachi, but let's put on the DeVachi, Dominions. And then we'll return to the idea, the sentiment, and playing more music after that has reached its conclusion. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from Vancouver and UBC, Point Grey, on unceded Coast Salish traditional Musqueam territory. And talk to you soon.
Well, sure. What else would one want to do with one's life except write poems? I think all these people are wasting their lives. They're going, building up the world, building skyscrapers, building atomic bombs, going to the moon. They're just wasting their lives. There it is, you know? Mm-hmm. Don't you feel this?
Thank you. for our more dreadful sacrifice.
Close it down.
The music you're listening to is completely electronic.
Only a fool would ignore this.
I'd like to demonstrate for you some of the rather more weird kinds of sounds.
See how relaxed you're getting?
Every Sunday night at 7 o'clock here on CITR 101.9 FM is More Than Human, your weekly guide to all that is new, weird and wonderful in the world of electronic music. So please join me, Gareth Moses, for electronic music old and new, inane comments and the occasional sacrifice. More Than Human on CITR.
Presented by Blueprint Live and CITR at the Fortune Sound Club on June 25th, it's Chastity Belt, your favorite Washington rockers. They'll also be joined by Glad Rags, coming off the release of their new album, Smile. Doors open at 7 and the show is 19+. Get your tickets online now at bplive.ca or in person at Red Cat, Neptune, or Zulu Records.
We sure have traversed a lot of territory on this sort of return show, back to it, in the studio, on air, live from UBC Vancouver, unceded, Coast Salish, Musqueam land. This is CITR 101.9 FM, and you're listening to Cue It Up. I'm John. Coming up next at 4 p.m., got Asian Wave. Excellent show. Steve Zhang, our host, takes us through sort of the landscape of contemporary Chinese and Korean pop music, sort of introduces us to predominant themes, ideas, the idols themselves. It's a good sociological listen, or good musical listen, of course, if you enjoy the genres of Chinese and Korean pop, which I believe are getting to be quite popular. That's hearsay for me. I listen to people fart into machines, and that's my poison. Yes, we just heard the artist Crooked Mouth, and Crooked Mouth will be playing at a Go Your Own Way show, sort of tangentially to Music Waste, 2016's Music Waste, this Saturday, June 4th, at Selectors Records. And I'm gonna play an artist who will be doing a official Music Away show. But really, this Go Your Own Way show on Saturday is something else. It's quite phenomenal. We've got C Diab, who we also heard track from the 2014 album Beacons, Awake, Little Creatures, and also Fader will be playing that show. And really, Saturday is just flush with places to be. Skim Milk playing at the Lido, the Heatley, Mittens, actually. And that is also a Go Your Own Waste show. The Toast Collective, you got Gesture, Ace Martins, Gesture, a CITR-based band. And, of course, expressing through music the ethos of a community station like CITR, bringing the enclave into the real and the world outside. Anyhow, Music Waste 2016, June 2nd to June 5th. Looks phenomenal. Morning Coup. I'm going to play some Morning Coup. That'll be the last song of the day, and then you'll be listening to Asian Wave 101. Let me just look at this schedule real quick, too. Did I say this is my first show back in a while? May I talk about what we... So earlier... You know, if you get the desire to go back and listen to these things, we heard an interview with Peter Cordemach, absolute gentleman, founded 24 Hours of Radio Art here at CITR, played some of his music, we played some Sarah DeVacci, played some Dream Cars, who will be playing as part of Music Waste, June 3rd at Selectors Records. Morning Coup, there we go, Toast Collective. My gosh. Now this is a rather interesting show. We've got, like, the noisier electronic elements as the first half of this show with Mascara, Morning Coup, Mascara, project of Nick Hughes, local underground legend. And afterwards, for like the second half, we've got a Supermoon set and an Adrian Teacher and the Sub set. And Adrian Teacher just released a new album, Terminal City. Highly recommend listening. Supermoon also just released a new album as well. So in terms of prolificity, that is the definite way to go. Oh my gosh, I am just rambling now. You know what? Okay, we're just going to listen to Morning Coup. If we have time, we're going to listen to some Mascara as well. And yeah, we're going to have a good time with it. All right. Wasn't this nice, getting back into it? On the reg? On the huge? We need these kind of things. Automated lifestyles for people who have trouble thinking, like me. This has been Cue It Up on CITR 11.9 FM, broadcasting live. This is a Strong Destroyer by Morning Coup on the album Baby Blue. I'll see you next week. Thank you.
We'll be right back.